going on, so hopefully you can be a part of all that with us. I'm going to dive into our message, and I'm going to need you to pray for me, because let me tell you, this week was just an upside down week. We've had just a couple rough weeks around here as a church family, and I kind of thought I knew where I was going with our message, and then just things kind of unfolded a little different, and so I stared at my screen for, I don't know, somewhere to a half hour to an hour, just going, I don't know what you want me to say, God. So we're just going to see what comes out. Does that sound good? I mean, I have some things written down, and I think that they're things that God would want me to say. So let's just do that. So would you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. So, Father, I just need you so much. I'm so thankful to be your son. I'm so thankful that I get to call you Abba. I'm so thankful that you've given me your spirit and that I know that I'm saved and redeemed and I'm loved by you. I'm so thankful for the privilege and the honor to be able to share with friends things that I think that are on your heart. So God, I just pray that there I would say only what's from you and nothing that's not from you, and that my friends here would keep only what's from you and throw away anything that's not. And I pray, God, more than what I would say, God, more than the words that come out of my mouth, I pray that your presence would be here and that you would move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we have been talking for a couple months, kind of on and off, about this idea of loving God with all of ourselves, all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our strength. And we've been talking about how God has wired us differently, that some of us are wired more to like more thinking person, more loving God with our minds. Some of us are more wired to kind of like our and be connected with our emotions, and you're kind of more of a heart person. And some of us are more connected with God like by serving and doing and kind of getting our hands dirty, and we're kind of like hands people. And so we've been unpacking for the last couple of weeks this idea of loving God with all of our heart, and what does that mean? And I got to tell you, I'm not sure what it means. I mean, Deb did an awesome job telling her story last week and like sharing her journey with us, and it's great. But man, the more I press into learning, like, what does it mean to love God with my heart? I learned just how mysterious a thing the heart is. Like just how mysterious our desires and our emotions and the kind of the deepest place of us, how mysterious those things are. And so here's where I've landed. I said a couple weeks ago, or back actually a couple months ago, that to love God with all of our mind doesn't just mean that we think good thoughts about God. Right? You remember me saying that? Like, it doesn't mean that we just think good thoughts about God. It means that we actually start to think like God. Right? To love God with our mind means that we start to think thoughts like God, that we see the world from his point of view and his perspective. We see ourselves from that perspective, and then our mind begins to be transformed to be more like God's mind, right? And as I've come to study this more, I think it's the same thing with the heart, that to love God with all of our heart doesn't just mean that like we have all the feels towards God. Like, you know, like, God, I just love you so much. I think that's part of it. But I think that it really is all about us loving like God loves. That what God is actually trying to do in us is he's trying to move in our hearts so that we would love just like God loves. He doesn't just want just our attention and our devotion. It's not like, listen, sometimes when we talk about worship and praise and like putting God first in our lives, we can kind of give this impression like God has nothing better to do except for sit there and go, man, I really wish somebody would praise me and love me, right? And he's just sitting around waiting for us to like give him the like right amount of praise and the right amount of love. And it's not that God doesn't want those things from us, but ultimately, like, God put us here on this earth to be his representatives here on this earth. So he desires that we love him, but he also desires that we function in this earth and love this place the way that he loves this place and loves people the way that he loves people. So it's his desire that everything in our lives looks like God's love. I mean, think about the statement in John. It's just such a radical idea that God is love. Like, if you want to describe God with one word, love is it, right? And so he wants us to love like him. And so that can be a little bit fuzzy. So let me just kind of bring it up to a point here. I think that what he really wants is not just this feeling of love, but he wants our desires, our emotions, our longings, the things that go on in here. He wants those things to match His desires and His longings and the things that are important to Him. He wants our desires and His desires to become one, like two hearts kind of beating as one. So real quick, let's do a little bit of just a like real quick group exercise. What are the kinds of things that you think that God desires, that are really important and on God's heart? What are those things? Like, just, and I'm not looking for anything specific. I just want us just to do a little group think here. So what are some things that you think that God desires, that God longs for, that God loves? Go ahead. Reconciliation. Trust. Kindness. Community and taking care of His people. Relationships and people living together in peace. Strong marriages and families. Absolutely. Freedom. Jesus didn't die so that we could get together in this room and just have church and go home. But that we would live free the way He lived while He was on this earth. What else? What else is important to God? What else does God desire? Joy. Absolutely. He is a God of joy. Wholeness. He desires restoration. Absolutely. He is single-mindedly focused on restoring all things to Himself. What are some other things? Laughter. Absolutely. Yeah, I think God loves it when we laugh. Thankfulness. Peace, yeah, for sure. Yeah, He really, really loves justice. He's a God who can hold justice and mercy in perfect tension. It's amazing to me because I'm either falling on the side of too much mercy or too much justice, depending on whether I'm the one that needs mercy or I'm the one that wants justice. Right? So here, my point in this is like we all know. Like, if you know anything at all about what God's Word says, about who God is, you know the things that are important to Him. And so the question is, do we love the things that God loves? Are the things that are important to God, like, are those the things that are my desires, the things that I long for, the things that move me? Do my desires and God's desires, do they match? Do they connect at all? It's not just a matter of do I feel good about God. It's a matter of do I desire the kinds of same things that God desires. And I know for me, I feel like I could boldly say, sometimes. Sometimes I desire the things that God desires. Sometimes I love mercy and I love justice. Sometimes my heart is broken for the lost and lonely. Sometimes holiness is something God values. Sometimes that's on my mind. But a lot of the time, I feel like my heart is elsewhere. A lot of the times, my desires, and I don't know about yours, are mixed at best and totally different than God's desires at my worst. And sometimes, let's just be honest, I don't even know what my heart desires. Sometimes I don't even know what's going on in here. I'm just upside down a lot of times. The heart and its desires are really mysterious. And sometimes, and we all know this, sometimes we really want one thing, but we really actually need something totally different. As a matter of fact, most of the time, the thing that I think I really want is not the thing that's going to satisfy my deepest desires at all, right? The thing I think will actually make me feel good or meet this desire is actually not the thing I need at all. And it doesn't always come out in sin, but if you really think about it, you can trace sin in our lives. You can almost always trace it back to some misplaced, misunderstood desire. There's something going on inside of us that we want, that our heart longs for, and we've tried to fill that desire in some other way other than in our Creator and how He's made us to be and what He can do and how He loves us. And so we kind of go around like trying to figure out what to do with these wants and these things we think we need and our desires, and we just kind of reach out for anything in front of us that looks a little bit like what we think will meet that need, right? So think for a second about like a mirage in a desert, right? So imagine you're walking through a desert, and now the song's coming to my mind, On a Horse with No Name. Anyone? Okay. Anyway. So you're going through a desert and you've got no water and you're starting to get dehydrated. And everything in you, your body needs water. Like the human body is made up of so much water. Like your body is starving for water if you're walking in a desert and you don't have any. So much so that if you get to this point of dehydration, you'll start to see things in the desert that you think are water, right? And there are actually stories of this where people go to places where they think that they're drinking water and they're actually just eating sand. Because their mind has convinced them that what they actually need is this water and that it's right here in front of them, but it's actually doing the opposite thing to them. It's actually making them more thirsty. Have you ever ate a mouthful of sand? Like you need pitchers of water after you eat some sand, right? I don't go around just eating sand, by the way. If you have kids, chances are you've had sand in your mouth at some point. But I think that's how our desires work. We have something that we really want, that we really long for in here. And then we see something outside of us and we think, there it is. That's the thing that I need. And so we go after that thing thinking it will meet a need and actually makes us more thirsty. And every single one of us has desires, whether we know it or not. We all have things that we need or that we think we need or that we long for. Jesus described it in Luke this way. He said, he's talking about what comes out of us. He says, a good man brings out the good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings out the evil things out of the evil that's stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So whatever is going on inside of here is going to come out of you in some way. And Jesus is like keenly aware that like we all have these things that our heart is full of, that our desires occupy our attention, our feelings occupy this place in our lives, and it always leaks out. You can try to put those desires at bay for a little while, but if it's like a real deep desire, real deep longing of your heart, it will always leak out somehow in some way, and usually not in a way you would have chosen ahead of time. Some of those desires, if you're a follower of Jesus, are good and godly. Some of those desires are not. Sometimes we just don't know. I don't know what to do with this thing in here. I just know I'm longing for this or I want this thing. And some of us here in this room have even been taught that it's not good to have desires at all. Just what you really need is to not have any desires, then you'd be okay. That's actually, just so you know, that is actually not how God made you. That's actually from false religion that says you should be detached from desire, which is so far away from how God made human beings, just so you know. God has given you desires, and he wants you to have desires. He just wants you to have his desires, and he wants you to seek those things in him. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So what do we do? What do we do with these desires that we have? How do we have a heart that loves like God loves? How do we have our desires match God's desires so that we love like God loves? Well, here's some things not to do, okay? So don't do these things. First, don't act like you don't have desires. For all the reasons I said, plus it's just silly. Like, can we all just agree we have deep desires in our heart right now, right? Can we just agree to that? And even if you don't know what they are, I guarantee you are. Look to the person next to you and say, you got desires. So now we're all on the same plane. We all got desires, okay? So don't act like you don't have desires. Secondly, don't ignore your desires. So we can't sweep them under the rug and act like they're not there. Like, well, yeah, I know that thing's there, but I can't deal with that. Don't ignore it because, like I said, it'll leak out. And then this one just boggles the mind. Don't hide your desires from God. God knows you better than you know you. It's amazing to me in my like kind of journey with God that like sometimes I'm talking with the Lord about something and praying about something, and I feel like God's just silent. And then all of a sudden, I feel like I start kind of praying in a different direction, or there's something that just gets my attention. And I realize that I thought that I really wanted this thing, but this is actually really what's on my heart. And God's been trying to show me all along, Chael, this is the thing that you really want and that you really need. And I'm just not saying anything until you come over here. And I just feel like that goes on so much. And God just, he's a good father, guys. And he knows what our hearts long for. And it matters to him. And so let's not hide it from God. It's actually really silly to hide it from God. Instead, we are invited over and over and over again in Scripture to bring those desires to the Lord. To take those desires and bring them to the Lord. Jesus is our fullest picture, it says in Hebrews, of what God is like. That the fullness of God rested in Jesus. That when Jesus walked on this earth, if you want to know what God is really like, you just take a picture of Jesus and say, God is like Jesus, which is a pretty radical idea, right? And as we watch Jesus walk through his life, we see people come to him with all different kinds of desires, don't we? So we see people coming to Jesus who have a sick family member and just that family member to be made well, right? That's a desire. That's all I want. God, save my daughter. Right? That happens a couple times. We see women who are sick and ostracized from community just trying to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, just to get close to him. And they come to him with this desire. We see people who, all kinds of people who are sick. We see rich men who have all the kind of wealth in the world coming to Jesus. They want to be his follower. And they come to him with this desire to be a follower. We see people who are lonely in the Gospels, and they come to Jesus because they want to be included. We see mothers who have sons who want a position of prominence in Jesus' thing, right? And they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, is it okay if my son sits at your right and my other son sits at your left? They come to Jesus with this desire, God, I want my sons to do well with you in your kingdom, right? We see children coming to Jesus who just want to be around him, who just want to hang out with Jesus while his disciples are shooing him away. We see Jesus having all these kinds of encounters with all of these people who have all kinds of desires. Some of them are really good, some of them aren't so good, and some of them are really unclear. But they keep coming to Jesus with these desires, and Jesus never sends them away. He somehow either meets those needs or speaks some truth into those situations where he transforms the person's perspective on what they really need. Sometimes people walk away really delighted because Jesus met the need right where they were. And then sometimes Jesus says, look, that's not really what you need. And sometimes they walk away sad because they're not willing to go there. But Jesus always meets that need, or he reveals a deeper need. And these people come to him with all these desires. And Jesus, every time, is so faithful to meet those needs or transform those needs. And in every one of those situations, there's this invitation. I think this invitation extends to us. That where Jesus is present, we should be able to come to him with our need without fussing over, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Is this a good desire or a bad desire? It doesn't matter. Come to Jesus with it. That's what Jesus did. He welcomed every one of those people that came to him, and he helps them to sort it out. Psalm 37:4. Actually, we've got this. I think it'll be up here on your screen. This, you probably know this one by heart, even if you don't remember what it is. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Or an old version says, delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Who has this one like memorized, highlighted in your Bible, right? I mean, this is like a super, super popular scripture, right? And in this scripture, in the scripture, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I think there is this invitation, this implied invitation I'm talking about, to come to the Lord. He knows what you want, and he knows what you need, and he desires to hear what those needs are, even if they don't match his at first. There's an invitation here in this verse to come to him with your needs. He wants to know what you want. And he's, just to be clear, God's not put off when our desires and his don't match. God's like, I can't believe you want that. I can't believe you would say that, Chael. He's not surprised by anything. Like, God is never surprised or put off by the things you bring to him. He usually is just saying, I was just waiting for you to come to me with this so we can actually do something about it. But so many times we're so afraid to come to the Lord with these kinds of things. So there's this invitation, but then there's also this promise here in this verse that here, the longings of your heart will be satisfied. In Hebrew, the specific wording is that the petitions or the requests that you have brought to God, these things won't just be answered. It actually means something like they will be satisfied. So the things that you long for most, the things that you desire for most, those things will be satisfied. And then here's a radical thing. And I don't mean this in like a cheesy, like, kind of prosperity gospel kind of way, but I really believe that God wants our hearts to be satisfied. I really believe that God doesn't want us to walk through this life miserable with these unmet expectations, these unmet longings. That is not what God created us for. Can you imagine God putting Adam and Eve on the earth and saying, here you go, guys, live great, go take care of my planet, but then also be miserable while you do it. Deep inside our Father's heart is just like any father's love, but so much more infinitely better. He desires that we are fully satisfied. John Piper, he's like this incredible like theologian. I don't always agree with everything that John Piper has to say, but he's got this phrase that God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. That it actually brings God glory. It actually brings God pleasure when we find satisfaction in him. And so there's this promise that we, our longings of our heart will be satisfied. But, okay, here's the problem. Everybody still with me? Good? The problem is we treat this like it's this kind of formula where God is like a cosmic vending machine where I just put in my money and I press a button, and then the candy bar comes out the bottom every time, right? And you'll know from if you are ever used a vending machine, when you do that, when you put your money in, and you press the button, and your candy bar doesn't drop to the bottom, you are mad, right? I mean, I've said some not nice things to vending machines in my day. I've tried to move them and pick them up and kick them, because I want my Snickers. Like, give me my Snickers. That is not what the scripture is talking about. It's not talking about putting your money and making this deposit so that you can push a button and exactly what you get, what you want is what you get out every single time. That is not what the scripture is about, but that's how we think about it. And so we are just so disappointed and frustrated with God so many times because we push the button, I put the money in, why am I not getting the thing? Anybody else feel that way or is it just me? Just me, good. I'm preaching to myself then. Chael, what is wrong with you? It's actually way more relational and way more subtle than that. Your Father wants to bring you the desires of your heart. I'm sorry. Your Father wants you to bring him the desires of your heart so that you can actually get to the heart of the matter with him. So that he can actually do the thing that you really need and that your heart really longs for. And so actually there's another way of understanding the scripture. I mean, the way I'm telling it to you now is kind of the traditional way of seeing it, but actually I think that there's something here. I don't know how else to think about it other than there's this great exchange that happens where you bring your desires to the Lord and give him your desires, and then he gives you in exchange his desires and says, here's what's on my heart. And so the way to read the scripture and the way I read it now is not just that God answers my prayers, but that when I come to him, that he actually puts new desires in me. So the things that I want are the things that are on His mind, the things that He wants. And when I pray the things that God wants, and my desires are matched with His desires, I'm going to have a pretty good outcome every single time, aren't I? There's this beautiful exchange that happens that when we bring our petitions, our requests, the longings of our heart, the things that we're wrestling with, He actually does this transformation in us so that He gives us His heart and then His desires become our desires. But here's the challenge. Even in knowing that that's true, even in thinking that that's true, we actually flip-flop the Scripture. We flip-flop the Scripture because we think God will give me the desires of my heart, and when He does, I will take delight in the Lord. Right? That's what we typically think. I'll be happy and satisfied and happy with the Lord when He gives me the things I want. But actually, this Scripture puts it the other way around. Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So how does this work? How do we actually do this? This idea of delight in this verse actually just means enjoy. So here's what this is some deeply spiritual stuff here, guys. All right, this is like, you know, hardcore spirituality here. Enjoy God. Has anyone ever told you it is the calling of your life to enjoy God? That He made you to enjoy Him? And that if we would, instead of seeking after what we want first and what we desire first, and instead think about, God, how can I enjoy You? Man, I think our world would be turned upside down. So how does this actually work? Well, how do you enjoy God? How do you take delight in Him? Well, that could be a sermon all on its own, but here's something basic. We enjoy God by celebrating who He is and what He's done. We enjoy God by celebrating who He is and what He's done. So real quick, let's take some stock here. What do you enjoy most about who God is and what God has done? Come back at me. Give me some thoughts. What do you enjoy about God? His kindness that brings us to repentance, right? What else do you enjoy about God? What do you enjoy about who God is and what God has done? His willingness to forgive, His everlasting love. There's no fear in God. There is no fear in God whatsoever. God's never been afraid, ever. He's never desired that His children would ever be afraid. What was that? Beauty? Yes, absolutely. I hear these descriptions of these visions of God, and man, I just want to see that one day. What did you say, Jen? Patient? Yeah. God's really, really patient. I've got a really thick skull. I'm really thankful that He's really patient with me. I love the way that God works and changes hearts, that He can take a broken thing and put it back together into something totally beautiful and new. His laughter. Yeah, that He actually rejoices over His children, and His providential care, that He is watching out for us even when we are not watching out for us. Truth. Yeah. He's creative. Yeah. What was that? His plan for us. Yeah. So what would it look like, instead of leading out with the things that we need, we lead out with the things we enjoy about God? What would it look like for us to start our day in the morning and say, God, I'm looking forward to this day with You. God, because I'm looking forward to seeing just how kind You're going to be today. I'm looking forward to seeing, God, how You're going to bring peace and reconciliation to these situations. What would it look like to do that? What would it look like to do that throughout our day? Not just at like these concentrated times of prayer, but like while you're cooking dinner with the kids all around you, man, I have just been lately just so, my heart is just so full of love for my girls. I can't hardly stand it. Every time I see them, God, so thank you. Thank you so much for my kids. I enjoy that you gave me that gift. I enjoy the friends that you've given me. God, I enjoy the way that you take care of people in hurting situations. I enjoy how community rises to deal with difficult things. God, I enjoy that about you. It's not just something that we do because we're good people in this room. It's because of who God is. And so here's what happens. When we live there and we enjoy God there, something happens where our desires begin to shift and our desires begin to change. And the things we thought we want, we realize don't really matter anymore. And then we start to prioritize and see things the way that God sees things. And all of a sudden, our longings begin to shift. And I'm not saying that this happens overnight. I'm just saying it will happen. This is a promise from God. You can take it to the bank. If you will delight yourself, if you will enjoy God, somehow He will satisfy the deepest places in you. I don't know how. All I know is I'm going to take God at His word. As people came to Jesus with their stuff, the disciples had all different kinds of agenda, all different kinds of desires. And you see over the course of 3 years in Jesus and then moving into the book of Acts, you have people whose priorities have radically shifted. The things they thought they wanted, they don't care about anymore. The things that they thought they were going after, they've just left behind. And now all of a sudden, God's kingdom come on this earth is the one and only desire on their hearts. There's a radical change that happens in us as we spend time with Jesus. There's a story I heard. Worship team, you guys can come on up. There's a story I heard about 10 years ago of a baby that was born sick. And doctors were doing everything they knew how to do. Mom actually wasn't in good shape. And the doctors did everything that they possibly could to help this baby survive. And they finally just said, we don't know what else we can do. And we don't know how much time left you're going to have. And we just want you to take the time. Sometimes there's just something that happens when we give the children to the parent. And so this person who was telling the story said that he was encouraged to actually take his shirt off and have his baby lay on his chest and put the baby's heart right over his heart. And something was going on with the baby's heart. It wasn't working properly. And as he just sat there with the baby on his chest and their hearts beating together, he could actually feel the heartbeat of the baby changing. Somehow or another, that little baby's heart started beating in sync with the father's heart. And that sick baby got well and walked out of that hospital. Well, not walked, but that would have been an incredible miracle. That would be awesome. He didn't walk. But he left the hospital. And I think there's something to that. Actually, there are some different like scientific studies being done right now just looking at how does a parent's gaze, a smile of a mom or a father, how does it actually change the internal workings of a child? And actually what they're discovering is that at 3 months old, when a mother smiles at a child or a father smiles at the child, that they actually begin to have their hearts start to shift and they start to sync up and they beat together. And I think that's what this whole thing is all about. It's not about us just getting what we want from God because we put our coin in. It's about enjoying Him, listening to His heart, and having our heart transformed and changed. It's like God is like singing this beautiful note. And what He's asking us to do is like harmonize with Him. Have you ever heard two people singing beautiful harmony? It's absolutely mesmerizing. When these two voices just, they almost sound like one voice. That's what God's going after with us. He's trying to actually get us to come up and sing with Him. Because He knows that our hearts will really sing when we do that. So practically speaking, here's my challenge, is that each and every one of us every day would find a way to enjoy God this week. Get up in the morning, enjoy God. Eat your lunch and enjoy God. When you go to bed at night, enjoy God. And then don't whitewash your desires. Don't whitewash the longings of your heart, because God knows what you need and He knows what you want. So as you enjoy God, you can say, because God is big enough to handle it, God, I really love You and I know that You're good and I'm so thankful for You, but I have this thing over here that really hurts and that I don't understand. And if you just bring that before God, I don't know how, I don't know why, but He is going to satisfy this longing, this desire somehow. It might not look like how you think. It might not come in the time that you think. But somehow, some way, you will be satisfied. He will come through. Again, sometimes with this, our perspective is so short-sighted. I want it right now. Kind of put the coin in. I did the enjoy thing. I shared my desire. What's up? Why are you taking so long? God is infinitely more patient because He's got eternity. And guess what? If you're in Christ, show to you. God's never been in a hurry to do anything. God doesn't, hurry is not in God's vocabulary. And so sometimes it's in the waiting where we really begin to have our hearts begin to sync up with His. And we get to learn what He is like and we get to see how He's working in our lives. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. Would you stand with me, first of all? And as we worship and we sing, I want you to do these two things at the same time. I want you to enjoy God in worship, and I want you to bring your desires and the things that you need to Him. And I want you to let God minister to you as you minister to Him. So Holy Spirit, come and move in our hearts as we worship and transform us. God, take our desires, take the longings of our hearts so that we love like You love. We desire like You desire. In Your name I pray. Amen.